Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is back today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We do not have good, bad, and crazy martinis today. We either have all bad or all crazy. We'll leave it up to listener discretion to determine which it is. And, of course, we're going to be focusing today on the riots in the city of Baltimore. They flared up on Saturday, and they flared up far worse on Monday to the point where there is now a state of emergency there, and the National Guard has been called in. We will have three either bad or crazy martinis. You make the call. Jim, I think the only good martini so far is the viral video of the mom basically pounding on her son to get him out of the people making trouble on the streets of Baltimore that's been making the rounds this morning. But in terms of the first bad martini, it comes last night as the state of emergency was being announced, as the National Guard deployment was being announced. Governor Larry Hogan, he's only been on the job for about 3 months now, but he was asked, hey, why didn't this happen sooner? There was trouble Saturday night, and he gave the answer, because we didn't get a request from the mayor in time.
Our entire team has been involved from day one, but frankly, this is a Baltimore City situation. Baltimore City was in charge. When the mayor called me, which quite frankly, we were glad that she finally did, is instantly. We signed the executive order. We were trying to get in touch with the mayor for quite some time. She finally made that call, and we immediately took action.
And the law requires that the mayor has to request it, so the governor couldn't have superseded her authority on that. So, Jim, that's about as undiplomatic as you can get while still maintaining some decorum and explaining why it took this long to get some order in the streets.
That's two finalies for people who are scoring at home. These riots started from a 24-year-old black man who was taken into police custody, had some sort of spinal injury, and ultimately died, as you know, about 7 days afterwards. After that, a lot of people in Baltimore's African American community suspect that something very wrong happened there, and that police action ultimately led to his death. That has not been proven yet; it's under investigation. Similar to Ferguson, similar to Staten Island, we've kind of seen that scenario unfolding once again. I guess it was last Friday's Morning Jolt. I said, look, there's one big difference between what's going on in Baltimore than what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Staten Island in New York. There is a Republican governor, and I cannot help but suspect there are people who will be very eager to say, well, this is all Larry Hogan's fault, even though Larry Hogan has been on the job for about 90 days. We all know that there was this very convenient narrative of these mean, nasty, power-hungry white figures in authority who are mistreating these, you know, passionate, protesting young black men in the inner city who are just been so unjustly treated, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with that scenario in Ferguson was you had a Democratic governor, Jay Nixon. In New York City, you had Mayor de Blasio, who was so eager to denounce his own police force and to stand with the protesters. There will be people who will try to make Larry Hogan the scapegoat for what went wrong here. They'll either say he called out the National Guard too quickly, or they'll say he waited too long to get the National Guard out. It sounds like they were getting ready for several days. And that, as he said, he moved 30 seconds after the request came in to mobilize the National Guard. Certainly, we hope that the order can be restored to Baltimore. But I just tell everybody, look for it. This is what's going to happen in the next coming days. Whatever happens, it's not going to be the mayor's fault. Somehow it's going to be Larry Hogan's fault, even though he's sitting over in Annapolis several miles away.
All right. The mayor of Baltimore is Stephanie Rawlings Blake, and she's been in the news quite a bit as a result of what's happened in the past few days. Yesterday, our bad martini was her comment on Saturday night that they wanted to give those who wish to destroy space to do so. Last night, Jim, she said that the media badly mischaracterized those comments and did not help at all in trying to calm the situation in the city. Somehow the media took her direct words out of context. At the same time, she instituted a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. that for some reason did not take effect last night.
One of the observations made on Twitter last night was the possibility that the Baltimore police and the mayor were not instituting the curfew starting Monday night because they couldn't, because they simply would not be able to, because they knew that it was going to take them 24 hours to regain control of the streets, which is a really frightening scenario. State police has sent in more folks. They've sent in police from surrounding jurisdictions. And now we know the National Guard has been mobilized. I don't think you can point to the mayor's performance here and say, nice job. this has worked well. This has been pretty about as bad as you can imagine. And her office is saying, well, when she said that, she didn't mean to say they were giving them space. They were simply saying that by trying to not escalate the situation, by consequence, they gave them space. But it's very hard to believe that certain people didn't interpret her statement as a green light, that basically she was not going to crack down on people. And we kind of had this discussion during the Ferguson protests. At some point, when there is serious threat to life and limb and people's property, the state has to reassert its own monopoly on violence. They have to have the ones who can say, look, we are in control of the streets. You are not allowed to steal things. You are not allowed to attack people. You are not allowed to do this. And if need be, we will clear the streets. We will round you all up, or we will send you home. And that's what kind of needs to happen in these situations. And what's interesting is I think this is the lesson of Ferguson, the lesson of certain other situations in which the police, hey, they were not going to get accused of being overreacting to the circumstances. And now we see what the consequence is, that the city burned for a good night.
Yeah, 150-plus fires reported. Obviously, most of the footage you saw on TV was of that CVS during the daytime, and then the soon-to-be-opened senior center. Fortunately, it hadn't opened yet, going up in flames a little bit further across town. And again, just firefighters crisscrossing the city trying to keep up with the arsonists. And it appeared to be a losing fight for much of the night. Hopefully, it'll be further under control once the guard comes in and restores some order there. At that same press conference where the mayor insisted the media took her words out of context, the city council president also lambasted the media for only showing the carnage, the debris, the looting, the arson, the chaos in the streets, the rocks being thrown at the police and so forth. You don't get a lot of blowback a lot from CNN, but here's Anderson Cooper's response to that.
In mayor's press conference, we heard from the city council president, who frankly was critical of the media for, in his words, focusing on the negative. I'm not sure what he thinks cameras should be focused on at a time when police cars are being destroyed, lit on fire, 15 police officers are being injured, and stores being looted. I'm not sure exactly what images he would like us to be photographed this time, but it seems pretty important that authorities know what is happening in their own city, and it doesn't seem all that clear that the mayor at this point does have a firm grasp on it.
Jim, to be sure, there's a lot of people, residents of Baltimore of all races, who deplore what's happened last night. And on Saturday night, a lot of faith leaders out there trying to calm things down, a lot of people trying to save their own neighborhoods. But to tell the media you can't cover the obvious story is ridiculous.
This morning on social media, you're starting to see what you might say are kind of the slightly the glimmers of hope in a really bad situation. Stories of young African-American males helping pull somebody out of a dangerous situation and protect them from an angry crowd. Images of an elderly black shopkeeper just getting out there with his broom and cleaning up the sidewalk and getting ready to reopen his store. And I look, there's a place for those stories. We do need to see that there are good people in the middle of very bad situations. Having said that, I don't think you can say that these little moments of these little gestures of kindness amidst chaos are the bigger story or the main story. The main story is Baltimore burned last night, and that the city devolved into chaos, and that the citizenry was ultimately not protected because of a large number of angry, mostly young black men who were believed that social anger over this police incident justified running into a CVS and taking whatever they want, running into check-cashed institutions and places like that, and running out with everything they can get their hands on. And then separately, by city leaders and a police force that were simply not capable of restoring order to the streets for many, many hours. That's the story there. And I think it says something about the mentality of the failed leaders in that city, that when literally the city is burning all around them, they're complaining that the media coverage is too harsh. It's like they're on a default setting for whining about the media and how they're being unfairly judged when, I would say wake up and smell the coffee, except you can't smell it over the smoke.
Well, obviously, we hope that order is slowly restored. Having the guard there will help, but obviously they can't stay there forever. I think there will be a preliminary report on the responsibility or what exactly caused the death of Freddie Gray, possibly by the end of this week. And obviously, the result of that report could go a long way to determining how the people in Baltimore react. So certainly be praying for calm in Baltimore as time goes on this week. Jim, obviously not exactly what we expected a few days ago to be talking about today, but clearly where the focal point of the nation is today and where it needs to be today.
It does make things like the White House Correspondents' Dinner not seem so important anymore now, does it?
It's always good to have that attitude towards the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
There you go. Yes, good perspective. So,
Jim, we'll reconvene tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.